Morning to those who are online for the very first time for a very new and different CCC. Have to say, it's a very sort of weird time, isn't it? Because it was just last week that I used to come here on Sunday, walk into church and say hello to everyone, greet them, how's your week, what did you do, etc., etc. But it's amazing how things have changed so quickly, just overnight. Now we come, I'm speaking to an empty hall. Well, there's some people here. And now I'm speaking to everyone online, so hi to those who are online. Where's the camera down there? And it's very different. But it's amazing how things change so dramatically, isn't it? And we're going to get this on the screen, Russell. I'm reminded of the passage that I preached on last year on Ecclesiastes. We went through a series, and remember we talked about a journey when King Solomon went on a journey around the world to see what the world was like. And one thing he discovered is just how uncertain times can be. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1, this is what he said. So I reflect on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. It's an astonishing passage of what Solomon actually saw. That no matter how much preparation you do, no matter how much planning or even how much praying you do, you still cannot predict the future. Listen to what he says elsewhere in chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. He says these words, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance, not that word, phrase, time and chance happens to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times, and not this phrase, that fall unexpectedly upon them. Unexpectedly. James, in the New Testament, thousands of years later, makes a similar observation. This is what he says. Very familiar passage. Now listen. Okay, listen up. You who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there carrying on business and make money. Isn't that what has been happening for so many generations? Our business plans, our preparation, we have locked them down, we've signed our contracts, we're prepared to fly overseas, start a new venture. But what does he say? Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And he says here, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That is what the biblical authors have recognized about the world. And we probably all know those words and those phrases, particularly if you're a well-read Bible reader, you all know them. But the truth of the matter is, knowing them is one thing, but what we're seeing unravel before us, being planned out before us, is certainly on a scale that we have never imagined in our lifetime. I was just talking to Bruce just a few minutes beforehand, that we have never seen the sort of scale of disturbance happening in our world. Think about it. Empty football stadiums, flights put on hold, all the flights being put on hold, panic buying for toilet paper, empty restaurants, and low petrol prices. So things have changed dramatically. And dare I say, with all the unraveling that's going on, people's lives are very unsettled. There is fear, there is anxiety, there is uncertainty. But here's the thing. In the midst of all this, while everything is changing around us and even in our own lives, we need to remember there are some things that never change. Why is that? Because they remain essential and important to our life. Indeed, can I say actually very counterintuitively, that even despite the pandemic crisis that our world is engulfed in, it has in many ways done us a great service. Because in many ways what is happening around us has removed all the clutter that has distracted us, that has filled our lives, and allowed us to actually focus once again on what is really important and what is unchanging. So in this unchanging world, what is unchanging? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. What is fundamental? What is essential? And I actually want to say to us that what is essential and foundational, you could say, is summarized for us in our vision statement. Because what does it say there? We're about being one community, growing in Christ, serving in love, and reaching the world. It's about community. It's about growing in Christ, about serving in love, about reaching the world. You know, people keep asking me this question. What is CCC all about? What is our vision? What is our mission? What's important to us? And I keep thinking to myself, what are you talking about? It's been the same from the very beginning when we started CCC up to now, and it will always be the same. And in fact, the vision that we have is not dissimilar to any and every other church. And so I keep asking myself the question, why do people keep asking me this question? And you know why? Because we keep because our lives are so filled with clutter, with distraction, our lives are so lived in a fog that we actually cannot see clearly what it's all about. It is not that we don't know, it's that we've been distracted. It is that we've been forgotten. It's that we've filled our lives with so much clutter. And in many ways, what this pandemic has done, tragic and cataclysmic as it is, it reminds us, it clears the fog, you could say. It removes the clutter and helps us to see clearly once again what is truly foundational. And so in many ways, what I have done is I've taken a little pause on the book of Hebrews. I unfortunately didn't tell Sandy, so that's my bad, not Sandy's. But, you know, this is a time of great change and things are being out of step, so apologies, Sandy. But I decided to actually change the title and to look at Philippians chapter 1. But the title I'm trying to change is How to Survive and Thrive and Change the World from a Cage. Obstacles and opportunities. Because when you think about it, right, the Christian life and Christian ministry is always conducted within a cage. It has never ever been any different. And it's still no different now. Think about it. The Christian life and the Christian faith has always lived in context of persecution. There have always been restrictions upon restrictions about what we can do, what we can say. For many generations, Christians have been hunted down, arrested, tried and killed. Churches have been torn down, not only in the past, but even throughout the world, even today. In many countries, Christians are illegal. It's illegal for Christians to meet together. It's illegal in some places of the world to have church buildings. But it's not just in terms of imprisonment and persecution. There are many other obstacles that work against us. Political traditions, busyness of family, work life, even diseases. Christianity has always lived in the environment of a cage, whatever that cage might be. And yet here's the crazy thing. And the crazy thing is that Christians continue to grow regardless of the cage, whatever it might be. The churches continue to grow stronger and stronger, regardless of the cages, whatever it might be. And the gospel continues to spread, fast and furious, even despite the cages. You see, the Christian life and Christian work has always taken place within the context of cage. But no cage has ever been strong enough to stop the work of God in the lives of people and in this world. And that actually is what I want to address today, in a very special time as we transition from how we used to do things to a very normal way, to a different way of doing things, and particularly in the sort of swirling sort of change that's taking place around us. For that reason, I want to actually do, as I said, I want to do a pause. I want to look at Philippians chapter 1, because in Philippians 1, Paul was placed in a cage, but it became an opportunity to change the world from within that cage. Now, if you don't know Philippians chapter 1, if you don't know Philippians, remember it's a letter. It's a letter from Paul. He's stuck in a cage, and he's written to friends, and he wants to say three things in this particular letter. First thing, he wants to say thank you for the gift that which they have sent to him. The people in Philippi, it's a church, they recognize that the difficult circumstances Paul is now in, they want to actually care for him, so they've sent a gift to him through a good friend of theirs, and Paul writes a letter to say thank you to them. But secondly, he actually wants to write this letter to encourage them. There was a bit of squabbling within the church, and Paul writes this letter to remember to and encourage them to love one another. Stop the squabbling, love each other, serve each other. But thirdly, he also wants to update them, like a missionary newsletter, he wants to update them about what's been happening to him and in his imprisonment. But here's the most astonishing thing. What he updates them is that what's going on in my life down, or what's going on in prison, is actually worked out really good. And he can explain. So let me actually read to you Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Philippians chapter 1. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Now listen to those words which Paul actually mentioned in the very beginning of that reading. What has happened to him in his imprisonment and potential death sentence has actually served to advance the gospel. It's an astonishing thought, isn't it? Paul saw his obstacles, one, as opportunities. He saw his obstacles as opportunities. Now you think about it. Paul had been called by God to be a missionary, you could say, to the world, to tell everyone about the good news of Jesus. And he gave himself to the task with a passion that was actually terrifying to see. Paul literally was an unstoppable machine, unstoppable. But then what happens? He gets landed in a prison cell, unable to get out there to preach the gospel. What do you do when you're called to preach the gospel to the world and you're now stuck within a cage? What do you do? Well, for many people, they start crying, despair, depression. They can't do what God has called them to do. But not for Paul. He saw his obstacle as an opportunity. He saw his challenge as to think about how to change the world from within the cage. And when you think about it, that's what happened. Because look at what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 13. As a result, that is, of his imprisonment and what he's been doing, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You hear what Paul's saying, that what is has happened to him, the word has gone out to everyone in the palace guards that he's in here because of Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. In other words, what has happened to Paul? Instead of creating more fear in the lives of other Christians who heard about it, it actually galvanized them, emboldened them, gave them courage to preach the gospel even more so. Whereas beforehand they would have been timid and fearful, yet Paul's imprisonment and what he was doing in prison did the quite opposite effect. It actually galvanized them to preach the gospel all the more. Which is why Paul can say he's rejoicing because of his situation, that what has happened to him has furthered the advance of the gospel. Now here's the funny thing. It seems that this is how God likes to do things. He places obstacles in front of his people that are not there to stop them, but there to open up new opportunities to try different things. He puts them in a cage, not to stop them, but to get them to think about different ways to change the world from within the cage. And that is how God seems to do things. You think about it. I don't know if you know of Johnny Erickson. I think many of us here in this congregation would know of Johnny Erickson. When she was a young girl, she prayed to God that God would use her to glorify his name. Well, God answered that prayer in the most remarkable way. And how did he do that? By making her a quadriplegic through a diving accident. Now you think to yourself, what's going on here? How is that glorifying to God? How is that going to serve his purpose? And you know how it did it? Through what happened to her, God was able to reach millions upon millions of disabled people throughout the world. Now that's actually a quite ingenious way of doing things. If you're going to reach disabled people, you don't get able people to do it. You have to get someone who's disabled to go and reach the disabled people. You have to actually make someone disabled, you could say. Help them to understand who Jesus is. Help them to overcome the problems and the barriers of their disability. Help them to find life in their disability in Jesus. And when they begin to realize, guess what? They begin to preach to the disabled people with a passion. This is what God has done for me. This is what God can do for you. You think about it. A group of people that we often reject in our society, you know who they are? Well, they're the people that we want to get rid of. They're the people in the prisons. They're the people in prison because of murder, thief, fraud, rape, pedophilia, the whole kin-kaboodle things. They're the people our society reject, shun. We literally lock them away. But here's the thing about God. God wants to bring the gospel to them. He wants them to hear about the good news of Jesus and to find forgiveness. So how do you get into the prisons and reach these sorts of people? You know what? He takes a tough, arrogant guy, breaks him down, helps him to find Jesus in prison, and this guy then starts a prison ministry. That guy was Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson was the right-hand man of President Nixon in the 1970s. He was involved in what we know as the Watergate scandal, a cover-up scandal to ensure Nixon would win the next election. When all the cover-up was discovered and he realised his time was up and he was going to do time, when he realised that his whole world was falling apart, you know what happened? He discovered Jesus. He realised that life was not in politics, in being the top of the ladder, but in knowing Jesus. And so what did he do when he eventually landed in jail and served his time and came out?
he started prison fellowship. And through his prison ministry, he reached millions upon millions of people incarcerated throughout the world. Now, how crazy is that? See, that's how the way God does things. He puts obstacles in front of people, not to stop them, but to see new opportunities. He puts them in the cage, not to hinder them, but for them to think of new ways to reach new groups of people and to change the world from within the cage. So let's bring it back to CCC. What about CCC? We can't meet physically. We're now meeting online. Hello to everyone online. Our youth group has been cancelled. Our combined conferences have been cancelled. I had some great ideas of what we're going to do this year, but every one of them has been totally cancelled. But here's the thing. Difficult as our time is, it's actually created new opportunities I never would have thought possible. It's created opportunities to change the world from the difficulties that we now face. So what should we do? Well, let's remember the words that we came from Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to loving good deeds, not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And notice what the author says here. Don't give up meeting. Well, how are we going to stop doing, how are we going to do that when we can't even meet physically here? Well, what does he say? Consider. You know what that means? Think about it. Plan. Think of new ideas. So let's bring home to CCC. What does it mean for us here? Remember our vision. This is what is essential. We're one community, growing in Christ, serving in love, reaching the world. Well, firstly, let's look at this idea of one community. One community. Community is so important to CCC. This never changes. And our passion is to keep building this community. But remember, community is never defined by our four walls. Just because we can't meet here at Milsons Point, and for our Redeemer brothers and sisters in Chatswood, they can't meet in Siebel, it doesn't mean that we can't stop meeting. It just means that we've got to think differently. And obviously, what are we doing now? We're going online. In fact, that's what's been happening the last week. Everyone's been going online. Many of our 915 congregation members have already started meeting online in their small growth groups. But here's the crazy thing. Do you know what this has done for us? It means that people who normally could not come here to CCC at Milsons Point or Redeemer because of distance, they can now actually now join us because distance is no longer a problem. Think about it as well. Many people who could not join us because of the massive parking problem, well, parking is no longer a problem anymore. They can actually join us. It means that while we may not be able to meet at CCC, Milsons Point, it means we have more opportunity, I did say more opportunities, to invite more people, not to join us physically, but to join us virtually. Now, how crazy is that? It means we can have much smaller online communities, which therefore provides more flexibility. Normally we have our meeting on Sunday morning, and people have to trek over 30 minutes and then go home. But now, because it's online, we don't have to do that 30, 40 minute trek, get ourselves ready, we just do it home. More flexibility. We have now the potential to bring all the three English congregations together, because remember, what stopped us meeting together was physical space. But now, we can actually potentially meet together online. Sure, there are difficulties meeting online. There are things that we cannot do. There's nothing in one sense that replaces physical meeting, but let's always remember, when we meet physically, there are difficulties itself, because there are many people who cannot meet us physically. So there's always a plus and minus with anything. Meeting online now brings with it great bonuses, so let's milk it for all it can. So here's an action point in our difficult time. Think of people who you've always wanted to bring to CCC but cannot. Invite them online Sunday morning. Think of people you wanted to invite to see to your growth groups, but cannot because of distance. Invite them to join you online in your small groups. Create small growth groups online that meet at different times or the same place, that is, on the net. It's an opportunity to build new communities online that can reach more people everywhere. Now, how crazy is that? Well, let's think about the next one, growing Christ. You know, when you see the panic buying in the stores, people are living in fear and panic. And I get that. It's a scary time. And I don't for a moment imagine that many of us people here are actually quite anxious and fearful. But here's the thing. Let's remember, for all of us who are believers in Lord Jesus, this is not a time for fear, but it's an opportunity for growth. Because what does James says? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Notice what James says, consider it pure joy. And here's the thing, right? This is an opportunity, not for despair, but for growth. It's an opportunity to milk it for all we can, to change the way we think. Learn to trust. Learn to rejoice. Learn to be thankful. But here's the other thing. It's an opportunity to do things, to grow ourselves. Just last night, I went through my calendar, and guess what I had to do? I cancelled that. 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 Cancelled this event. Cancelled that meeting. You know what that means? For some of us, if not many of us, we are now freer. And being freer affords opportunities to do more things. Build good habits to read the Bible because now you have time. Build habits to read the Bible because you have time to pray, to stop and to meditate because you have time. Don't waste this time, but use the time that you have now to build good habits, to grow. Use the time that we have. But here's the second, third, the other thing. What's important to us is serving in love. And it's an opportunity to think of how we can serve each other in love. This is going to be a difficult time for many people. People are going to feel even more isolated than ever before. And not only that, some people are actually going into terrible financial hardship because they're going to lose their business, people are going to lose their jobs, lose income. You know what's going to happen? Domestic violence will spike up because financial crisis destroys marriages. It will destroy families. For this reason, we need to think about how we can serve each other in love. But one thing I've said over and over again, it just happened on Sundays. And now that we can't meet physically on Sunday, you know what it means? It forces us to try and meet with each other outside of Sundays. We may not be able to meet physically, but guess what? We can now meet more people online. Christian care meeting the other day, and now we're trying to round up more people to help us to care for each other. And here's the thing, we don't need to do that physically. We said to each other, let's ring them up. Can anyone do that? Yeah, we can do that. We can do that anytime. Let's text them, let's email them, let's invite them online. There are different ways which we can serve each other in new and innovative ways. And so here's the thing I actually want us to say. In this time of crisis, keep in contact with each other. Ring each other up. Like I said, use technology. And remember one thing we said at the beginning of the year, we want to make disciples. So even find someone in our congregation to read the Bible with. I tell you what, with this social isolation, a lot of people would be loving someone to give them a call. And a word of encouragement, a word of scripture, and a word of prayer. A lot of people will be much more open to this sort of thing. New opportunities to serve each other. But lastly,
It's not just about serving those within our congregation. It's also thinking about how we can reach the world with the gospel. As I said, you know, when you look at the news, the world is falling apart all around us. And the problems that our people face are even more so for the people outside. Because at least for our people here, they do know the Lord Jesus, but there's people outside who don't know the Lord Jesus. The very things that they have built their lives on is crumbling right before their eyes. The money that they have saved up and they place all their hopes on is now literally gone. And people are in despair, and people are lost, people are looking for help, people are looking for love and comfort and good news and answers to questions they are asking. And this is an opportunity, a great opportunity, for us to bring the love of God and the good news of the Lord Jesus to those around us. You know, one great thing we can be doing is just going around as you go and have your buy your coffee, ask the owner, how's it coming along? Is there something I can pray for you? As we go and talk to our colleagues, who particularly if they're going to be losing their jobs or incomes on the line, is there something I can pray for you? Is there some way I can help you? Is there some way I can love you and comfort you and things like that? This is an opportunity, an incredible opportunity to bring the love of Jesus and the good news of Jesus to a world that's desperately, desperately looking for answers, looking for hope, looking for love. And we have that good news in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what CCC is all about. This is what's unchanging in a world that's changing rapidly around us. We're all about being one community, because that's so important. Not just physically, but online. Growing in Christ, serving love, reaching the world. This is what we are all about. Now, I want you to think about it as we wrap up here. I actually want to encourage everyone here physically, the small group here, and all you online, as we finish up, I actually want to ask you to spend some time praying. And I've given you some prayer points here, right? You can see on the screen there. Pray for our government leaders, for our business employees, for frontline workers and caring for the sick, for scientists as they endeavour to look for a cure, for people to be generous and caring for the less fortunate, for those struggling in their marriages and families because of that pandemic, and for our church, that we will be one community growing Christ, serving love and reaching world with the gospel. Well, let me just pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, that even despite the crisis that we are now engulfed in, you are still sovereign. You still sit on your glorious throne, ruling the universe, and everything's going on is still has not dented, has stopped your perfect plan to bring about new heaven, new earth. We pray for our government leaders, give them wisdom as we pray for this early on. We pray for businesses and employees that you will just protect them. We pray for frontline workers in caring for the sick, keep them safe too. For scientists as they endeavour to look for cure, that you help them to find that cure quick and soon. We pray for people to be generous to those who are less fortunate. Lord, during this difficult time, we imagine that many marriages will fall apart. There will be increased domestic violence, and there will be families broken apart through arguments and fighting. And we just pray, Lord, that will you please protect marriages. And we pray for our church, that we might be that community with the good news that will beam a light bright as you can imagine to a world that is dark. That we might be a church that has answers to the world's questions. That we might be the church that...